Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad that you're here. We're going to talk about focus today. I know that's something that all of us think we don't need to know about, but the truth is we do. I was thinking the other day, you know, I'm sitting here watching television with some folk by myself in the house, and I've got a remote control, and probably like you, I end up watching two or three programs at a time. You know, every time there's a commercial, you change over the other program, and then you're sort of missing, you don't really get the entire story of any of them because you're going back and forth. And in my own case, as a bit of a confession here, I've got to where I read books like that. I'll start reading a book and do a few chapters, and I read another book, and I'm trying to be more disciplined about that because that's not really the way to read a book. You know, we all think that we're so good at multitasking and we do all these tasks at the same time. The truth of the matter is we're not. Research after research has shown, for instance, that even very, very, very disciplined drivers who have a cell phone in their hand, they're doing something on a cell phone, if they put them in a test course and they test their driving, they think they're driving fine, but the truth of the matter is they're not. The control of the car begins to wane, which is why we have all these state laws about texting and driving and things like that. And even in my vehicle on the way here, I had a little discussion with myself even on the way here. We have so many electronics in the car, and I have a very, very modern vehicle with a lot of stuff in there, and really can almost be overwhelming. And I found myself even coming down here today, reaching over and doing a couple of things, and I noticed I've kind of slid over the lane. Now, fortunately, there's nobody around me or anything, but so I basically forced myself back to pull away from that and quit fooling with that while I'm driving. But you know, we all relate to that, don't we? Because we all know what's going on with that. There's an old hunting saying that says if a guy's trying to shoot two rabbits, he will miss both of them. That absolutely applies to business. I heard a speech recently by a lady named Kat Cole, who's the CEO of Cinnabon. And she talked about doing some humanitarian work in Africa. And they were on their way, and they were going to go help a village, and they were passing another village, and one of the people said, "Why don't we help that village?" And the guy sort of heading up this little ministry said, no, that village is too small. There are not enough people there for us to help. And they came to another village, and they were saying, "Why are we passing this one?" He said, "Well, that one is too large." He said, "The truth is, we don't have the resources to help that village very effectively." And then they finally got to the village that they were going to help and where they've done great work. And her point was, in business, it's the same thing. When we begin to focus on what we do, there may be things, there may be customers, there may be markets that are just not for you. And none of us like probably to say that market is too large for us. But the fact is, it may be. And conversely, some of us spend our time piddling around. I'll talk more about this as the day goes on, piddling around in small markets that have low profits and really don't fit our company very well. And we need to learn, perhaps say no to those possibilities. I had a good friend ran a electronic motor drive business manufacturer, actually, down in Florida for many years. A very, very, very successful little company. Well, it wasn't that little, sort of a medium-sized manufacturing plant. But did very well. And I had many conversations with him about, we did some work with him, and I had many conversations with him about their business. And he would always tell me, you know, and he would give me a figure and say, you know, that these are the projects in this price range here, you know, from $30,000 to $80,000, those are sort of our sweet spot type orders that we do really well on. We don't do well on larger orders. He said, we tend to lose those to much larger companies, but in that little sweet spot range where we work, we're very hard to beat because we just got that down very well. So he's a guy who had really figured out where their sweet spots were, where their core competencies were in their business. And instead of whining about the fact that they didn't get the very large jobs, the company was very profitable and successful. because he concentrated on where their sweet spots were, very strategically so, and that's where they lived and were. They ended up being bought by a much larger company who, as often happens in those cases, basically ran them into the ground. But he had retired and moved on by this time. But I think of that story very often, the idea that even in our own, in my business, perhaps in yours, that you really need to figure out where your sweet spots are. The person that, you know, when you get asked a question, who are your customers? And occasionally in discussions with other business people where people be asking my advice about something, I'll ask that question. Well, who are your customers? And if they say something that sounds like everything, and they may use different words, but if it's basically, oh, everybody's a prospect, I know right away they've not thought that through. Because if everybody's a prospect, really, then no one is a prospect. You really can't sell like that. And trying to do that can lead you to this incredible bureaucratic complexity that we tend to see in large companies is where we see it most often. But it can happen on a lesser scale in a small business. Some years ago, we got approached by a very large multinational corporation about servicing one of their products here in the United States. And it sounded like a very good deal to us, and we said yes. And so we did it. Well, then, we began getting in. They began referring in the business to us, and we literally began to get in just truckloads of this stuff to repair. Well, then we called them up because we need parts. We say, oh, we need to buy some parts. And they say, the parts people we had to call said, oh, no, you're not authorized to buy parts. And we say, well, but we're an authorized service center for you. Yes, but you're not an authorized parts center. So, but we can't do the service without the parts. Well, sorry, you know, you're not an authorized. And we had to go around and around in a circle getting that straightened out. And that's an example of a company that's become too complex, where they have silos where, you know, the people in one silo are clueless about the people in the next silo, and they don't talk. And they've completely lost focus of what they're doing by trying to be too many things to too many people, too many product lines, too many services, sort of lost their way in the marketplace. That company, by the way, has since reorganized quite a bit. I have another example of that. This is a very recent example. We do business with another pretty large multinational corporation that's actually headquartered in Europe. And they bought a division of a smaller company that we were dealing with in Europe. And we've been their North American service center for a long time. I'm not naming any of these companies because, number one, I don't want to disparage them. And number two, we still do business with them. But we had the smaller company that we were doing business with out of Europe was using us for service work here in North America quite a bit. And they got bought by and gobbled up by much, 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 much larger, very large multinational corporation. And although they said the relationship was going to continue, it got a little murky. Who do you call? Who calls you? It just got all, kind of muffed up there. Well, we got a call one day from a division of this company in Switzerland. And said, we have a customer up in South Carolina where we've had our service people, meaning the service people here in the United States that worked for this large multinational corporation, and they've been there 2 weeks, and they can't resolve this issue. Can you go, just help them out as a consultant? We said, sure. So we sent a guy up there, and literally he found the problem in about 30 minutes. They had just been overlooking a very, very, very simple problem. Keep in mind, on site here 2 weeks, the customer was fit to be tied. And you know, we were able to go in there and get them running. Well, then the people in the Swiss division, the people in Switzerland of this large multinational corporation called us and said, can we just come to you direct instead of using our own people in the United States? And we were like, sure, but that doesn't make any sense. Why, this is your company. Why would you call? They said, well, it's just too hard to deal with those folks. Now, keep in mind, they're talking about their own company. This is their company. Has the same name, wear the same, they wear the same logo shirts. Their paycheck says the same thing on it when the check comes out and all their logos and literature and everything says their business cards look alike. But they prefer to use someone outside the company to perform a function. Their own company has an entire division to perform because their division is too hard to deal with within their own company. Now, when you get to that point, you've gotten too complex. You've also lost focus of the businesses you're in. And it's easy to look at large companies and sort of, those of us that are there from the small business world, we can look at large companies and kind of smile about that. But the truth of the matter is that is not, strictly a large company problem. Plenty of us in small companies can become just as turf conscious. We don't talk to people. We don't share information. And there's only four people in the office. But you know, each of us are a little jealous of the other one. We don't share information. We have systems in place that seem to block customers from finding out information between departments and between and besides the fact, we don't seem to even know who our customers are or what it is they want because we've lost focus and we quit focusing on our customer. I want to talk about that today. Number one, this is to sort of take the marketing side of this, and we'll talk about this beginning and we'll finish this up after the break. If you get asked the question, who are prospects? Maybe you can even go back further and say, who are customers? But let's just start with prospects. Who are prospects for your business? That's a helpful thing to know. And again, as I've already said, do not say everyone, because that means you don't know. If everyone's a prospect, no one's a prospect. Is who is it? Identifying that right there, just starting with that and giving careful thought to that will help to focus and organize your thoughts about how you should be structured, what your advertising ought to say, what geographies you ought to serve, what products and services you ought to be offering, any additional services and products you ought to be offering, and perhaps products and services you ought to not be offering and you ought to cut. All of that comes down to, again, to focusing. What business are you in? What business are we in? What's the core competency of our business? Like my friend in Florida had figured out their core competency, where their sweet spots were, and made a very, very successful company by doing that. You can do the same thing. We're going to talk more about that. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. I am Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business. Back in just a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. Talking about focus, the business principle and the business advantage of focusing. Not being so scattered. Not saying everybody's a prospect. Not saying we provide all products. Not saying that we provide all services, but rather figuring out who exactly your customers and your prospects are, what their needs are, what you're best suited to do for them, and become very focused, very intentional, and very good at doing that. And that is really a key to success. That is really a key to success. I began my marketing career some years ago doing direct mail. Now, you know, these days, there are those who would argue with you. I don't do much direct mail anymore. In fact, I haven't done any in quite a while. I've done a lot of emailing, if that's called direct mail, but. You know, here's the thing about mail that a lot of people never understood. People would spend a lot of time, and I made the same mistake myself. I learned better. But, you know, when people are doing direct mailing to try and get prospects back in the days of direct mailing, they would spend enormous amounts of time on the creative side of it, coming up with very shiny, good-looking mailers and, you know, very well thought-out catchphrases and, you know, to agonize for hours over what color to use there and all that kind of thing. All of which is fine. It ought to look good. But here's the problem. By focusing on that, they were not focusing on the most important thing, which is the list you're going to mail to. The list, I used to tell people, the list trumps everything. You'll get more response off sending out a handwritten yellow sheet to somebody to a good list then you will get sending the slickest marketing piece you can imagine to a bad list. The list trumps the material. The list trumps the material. You know what? Your sales efforts are the same way. You can come up with sales strategies out the wazoo. You can come up with the best and coolest phrases. You got ways of phrasing things. You may have the most fantastic supportive literature you can imagine. But if you're calling on the wrong people, it's a waste of your time. And conversely, you can have absolutely none of that stuff and be calling on a much better list, and you'll get better response. Again, it comes to identifying what business you're in. Identify what business you're in. But let's talk about focus just for a moment. You know, focus is the ability to pay attention to things that will help and avoid things that do not. It's really that simple. Pay attention to things that will help and avoid things that do not. And that sounds much simpler than it is. I can tell you in our own business, you know, we sometimes we'll be in a plant somewhere and we will see some equipment in there in that plant, and we know we can buy and sell that equipment. And so it's always tempting to say, you know, we should get into that business. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't expand your products and your services if it's strategically what you need to do. But you certainly need to do that carefully and need to always learn to say no. You know, that sounds good, but that's going to take more time than we're going to get out of that. And consequently, so it doesn't further our goals. So the answer is no, we're not going to do that. You know, you can't think without focusing. Do you know that? I took one of my grandsons some time ago into this incredible candy store down in Florida. It was a very specialty store, and I've never seen so much candy in my life. They had every brand of candy that I could even imagine in there. And even as an adult, I was overwhelmed with it. I took him in there, and I said, okay, you can have, you know, anything you want. That's one of anything you want. You can buy one of anything you want. It took him, it completely stressed him out, trying to figure out what he should get. Because, you know, pick this one up and say, oh, no, no, look at that one. And put that one. Oh, no, no, look at that one. Oh, no, no, look at that one. I sometimes think that we as adults are really just big kids. We're the same way. We look at business opportunities out there. And, oh, I'll do that. Oh, I'll do that. Oh, I'll do that. Instead of narrowing our choices down very strategically and saying we're going to be doing this. Here's a very simple truth. If you can't focus in an efficient way, then you can't think in an efficient way. And if you can't think efficiently, then you can't produce the product of work that you need to be successful. It's absolutely imperative. There's a guy that named Dr. Jim Taylor, who's on the staff of the University of San Francisco, wrote a very nice blog on that called Focus is a Gateway to Business Success. And he talks in there about the four P's, he calls it, of focus. And here's what they are. It's perform, process, present, and productivity. Let me tell you what I sort of went over those things right there. The four P's is perform. And when you're going to begin a project like a sales report or anything you're doing at work, a strategic plan, a marketing analysis, whatever it may be you're going to do, ask yourself what you need to perform your best, and then create an environment that will allow you to do that. So performance. The second one he talks about is process. And that involves focusing entirely on what you need to do without concern for the outcome. The third P he talks about is present, which means focusing on the here and now rather than on what's happened in the past or what might happen in the future. And finally, the fourth one he talks about is productivity, which means focusing only on those things and blocking out distractions. Now, absolutely all of us can probably immediately think of how we get distracted. You know, you sit down to begin working on something and you think of something else, so you put it aside and you go do that. And then something else happens and you put that aside and you don't get back to it. Well, that's not the way to focus. And it's very, very hard to think efficiently if you can't do that. You've got to be able to focus on your work intently for whatever time is necessary, and intently and without distraction, for whatever time is necessary to get whatever you need to do done. And that may mean setting aside an entire day. It may mean turning off your cell phone. It may mean turning off your computer if you're not using a computer to do it. It may mean whatever, but it does mean you're going to concentrate on this and nothing else. So here's how he suggests doing it. First thing he says, go through and prioritize things. And if you're like most of us, there are things on your list of things to do that really either can be done later or truthfully for many of us are not that important. If they're not that important, get rid of them. Don't do them at all. A lot of us spend our time on things that are unimportant. I do, and so do you. But long term, and the aggregate of that is failure in life and in business. Don't do that. Don't do that. He also suggests creating a focused workspace. In other words, not cluttered. Now this kind of hits me in the stomach because I tend to work in a lot of clutter. But I do agree with him. The few times I do clean everything up and get it real clean and organized, it does make me feel a lot better to do it. And it probably does you too. It'll help you focus better. The other thing is to master technology. And master technology may mean turn the blooming thing off. I have the same problem as everybody else does. But, you know, if you ever sit down to work on something and get a project done and then you spend all your time because the printer won't work, or, you know, you get started and you hear a beep on your phone and there's some kind of a Facebook notification. So then you, next thing you know, 30 minutes have passed. You know, I have a rule. I just sort of a rule of thumb. I look around, you know, whatever you do on a computer is going to take 2 hours. You know that? Whatever you do on a computer is going to take 2 hours. That's just life. So the trick is to avoid that. We're going to be talking more about this as the program goes on, Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. More to come in just a moment. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking today about focus in business. How to focus? I guess you could say another word for focus, well, at least part of focus, is prioritize. You know, we did define focusing earlier. We said it's the ability to pay attention to things that matter and to avoid the things that don't, and don't think about the things that don't. I heard an interview with Vince Gill. I'm a big Vince Gill fan. You know, there's a website that, you know, Vince Gill is kind of the guy in music that everybody's related to in some way. There's a website, I think it's, and I don't remember exactly, but something like 6 degrees of Vince Gill. And basically you can go in there and put in any musical person you can think about. And you know, somehow Vince Gill had something to do with their career. There's one like that of Kevin Bacon, I think, for the acting business. But Gill is that. Gill was talking on this interview about producing records. He's not only had a bunch of hits, he's produced so many records and was a studio musician for years and years and years, played with a number of different groups. And he talked about the idea of being a record producer. And he made an interesting statement. He said, really, the term record producer would make a lot more sense if they would call it record reducer. He said, because your job as a producer really is to reduce the songs. You said there, you have to decide which songs to say, no, that's not going on the record. And he said, that's as important as the songs that go on the record. Well, you know what? In business, the things you say no to are just as important as the things that you say yes to. And it's very important that you learn how to do that because, you know, even good things can absolutely tear you away where you can't do it. You know, we all like to think that somehow we're these great multitaskers. The truth of the matter is, we aren't. And test after test have shown that people who think they are great, and it's what's the most interesting thing about this, is the people that think and perceive themselves as the best multitaskers, when actually tested, are usually the worst at it. They're not good. So there's no such thing, really, as multitasking, and especially when it comes to work. Perhaps the best thing you can really learn to do is to just push everything aside and focus on the task at hand. Again, back to the 4 P's that Professor Taylor talks about: perform, process, present, in other words, being present, deal with it here and now, and productivity. Taking care of our ability to focus on those kinds of things. You read in the literature now where one of the things is that people, that a lot of entrepreneurs brag about, instead of starting one business, and I've actually known some people who have done this, you should start a bunch of businesses. Do a bunch of businesses and, you know, just kind of keep it going. Entrepreneur Magazine, a guy named Steve Toback did an article on that some time ago, and I agree with him. He completely said that is absolute bunk. And if you look at very successful business people, you will find that is not what they did. I mean, just think for a minute of Steve Jobs or Steve Wozniak at Apple, they didn't start a bunch of businesses. They concentrated on what they did, and they learned, and they refined and focused that business and focused it and focused it and focused it until they got down to where they became the success that they that they did. And he asked an interesting question that perhaps we all need to look at. Since when is starting anything an accomplishment? You know, it's easy to start anything. It really is. I can start to run a marathon and, you know, just go out the front door. What is that accomplished? If I stop at the front door, well, I started the marathon. Somehow we tell ourselves we've done something great by starting. It's not starting things, it's finishing them that matters. And finishing things takes focus, where we grow and accomplish and achieve results. That's what matters. It's not what we do. You know, in a great interview, Apple CEO Tim Cook was on Charlie Rose's program, and he was being interviewed, and he was asked just about their success. And he said, you know, one of the hardest decisions that we make are what not to work on. Because Apple's a smart company, you know, with a lot of creative guys. And I imagine every day somebody has a fantastic idea in there. So it becomes the management and the leadership's role in that company to say, okay, we are not going to work on these things. We're going to work on these things. Does it mean they never make mistakes? No, it doesn't mean that. They certainly do make mistakes. But even a bigger mistake would be taking on more than they can handle and diluting their efforts instead of being focused on their goals. I think all of us could find ourselves doing that pretty carefully. You know, people think that focus means saying yes to the things you need to focus on. But that's not what it means at all, from Tim Cook at Apple. He says that focusing means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that there are. You have to pick carefully. Go back to what Vince Gill said for a moment. You know, if you're at the level where, if you're the level musician where Vince Gill is producing your record, you're a pretty good musician, I would imagine almost every song you're bringing in there to record to him is probably a great song, a really good song. But what did he say? The job of the producer or the leader, the guy taking in charge of producing that record, is to reduce it. It's learning how to say no. No, we're not doing that one. It's picking the best. You know, when it comes to anything important in life, the whole idea that more is better is nonsense. You know what's better? Better. Better is better, not more. And best is even better than that. So just more of things is not better. You know, I've heard, I used to sometimes be around, and still am occasionally around people, other business friends of mine, and you know, and occasionally they'll tell me a lot here about their billings, and if their billings are much higher than our billings, you know, they did X million last year, and they did X plus 5 million last year, and I'm thinking, well, what's wrong with us? How come we're not doing that kind of billing? You know, why didn't we increase our billings like that? And why didn't, you know, how come we did 5 million less than they did? What the heck? But you know what I find out a lot of times after the dust settles and you talk to them, you'll find out they didn't make a profit with all that extra billing. And you know, a lot of people that are just getting in business don't figure that out. It's not what you invoice, it's what you keep of that invoice. And there are businesses and there are customers and there are markets that are not going to turn a profit. And you need to, and if you're going to be spinning your wheels, you know, it's going to take you the same amount of time, the same leadership capital, the same motivational work you're going to have to do with your employees, the same time you're going to have to spend on administrative functions and insurance and software and all the other things that goes into a modern business. You're going to spend the same amount of time doing that for a not profitable or a marginally profitable business that you will for a profitable business. So isn't it a little smarter to stand back, focus on the business a little bit and say, okay, we're going to be in this business. I'm looking at this market here. This is a good and an expanding market where there's some money to be made. Or I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing in a market that's shrinking. We've had to make that decision ourselves in our company, and not just once. a number of times. One of the things I've said on our program many times is that change is not unique to our time period right now. Change is always taking place in the world. I mean, there's never been a time on Earth with human beings where change wasn't taking place. But we're seeing change perhaps coming faster now, at least in a business and technological sense, than ever in history. So it's not that change is happening, it's that it happens very rapidly. So you've got to be focused and you've got to pay attention to what is going on. You know, we many times talking here about the idea of that one of the problems with being arrogant, with being a know-it-all, with somehow thinking that you have arrived somewhere and that you know everything, is that you stop learning. And the moment you stop learning, the moment you stop paying attention to the market around you are the seeds of failure. You can't do that. So as we begin to see things change around us in our company, in the little niche business I'm in, the electronic motor drive business, we would begin to see small changes taking place in the marketplace. We didn't see every one of them by any stretch of the imagination, and we called a few of them wrong, I'll tell you that. But we called some major ones right, and we saw that a market that was once a burgeoning market that we'd made a lot of money in over the years, we suddenly began to see that was not any longer a viable market, long-term market. It was still going on at the time we spotted this, but we could see the trends. The trends are going down. So do you want to keep chasing a trend down, or do you want to perhaps adjust your strategies a bit to look over at this little segment of the market that's doing better? And you don't make those decisions all the time, and you don't make them without giving it very careful thought and research and buy-in from your team. And once you do buy-in, you buy-in all the way. You go all the way at it. And we've been very blessed in being able to do that. So again, more is not always better. You know, our business, like other businesses, as we've gotten more and more narrowly focused, we actually have, in terms of customers, less aggregate customers than we had before. But every customer is worth a lot more to us. Now, again, that's just something you have to decide in your business, exactly what your business model is. It doesn't necessarily match mine, and mine wouldn't match yours. And neither one of them are wrong. I'm not suggesting anything of the sort. But you need to know about it. You need to be able to describe it. You need to give it some thought. You need to think through the business that you're in. Business is not an accident. I tell people that all the time. Can you get lucky in business? Yes, you can. Things can happen to you. You can be in the right place at the right time. Absolutely. But you know, you can also, if you'll put a little effort into it, you can also put yourself in the right place for the right time. And it doesn't mean you're gonna bat 1,000 on it, but you know, you may bat enough to really make yourself successful. That's in my encouragement. Pay attention to the market around you. Don't ignore changes in the market. And don't ride a losing market into the ground. I'm going to close this section with this. I got some great advice from a person who's been a guest on the program here, Sandra Young, used to be with SunTrust Bank some years ago. She had told me that she had observed about entrepreneurs, people with an entrepreneurial spirit. And she was talking to me. She said, you guys will ride an idea that's been very successful to you, and then you will continue to ride that idea after it's passed, after its time has passed. You ride it all the way into the ground, all the way into bankruptcy. And said, she was basically telling me, she was encouraging me not to do that. Well, I'd encourage you the same thing. Don't do that. Look around. The fact that it made a lot of money for you in the past does not mean it's going to be a great market for you now. Give it some thought. You're listening to Driven to Business, Eddie Mayfield. By the way, podcast on eddiemayfield.com at the close of today's program and on iTunes. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. This is the final segment. I want to spend a few moments here talking about kind of a white paper put out by the Bain Company. The author of it is a guy named Mark Gottfriedson, and we're not going to cover it all because it's a fairly complex little paper, and it's called The Focused Company. You can go online and look it up. I think probably on my website, if you read the blog about today's program, I think I probably have a link to it there as well. And he talked about that when he and his colleagues go into assess a company. This is questions they ask the management team. And they mainly deal with larger corporations. I'll just tell you that up front. So, but even those of you that are in like me, they're in small businesses, perhaps, this is worthwhile. Listen up. Here's a couple of questions he asked. And think how you would answer this if you were asked this question. Do you strive to invest enough to win in all of your product markets, all the regions you compete in, and every division of the company? That's one question. Number two question, does your product portfolio offer enough options to appeal to all types of customers? Number three, is your organization designed to provide support for all of your company's processes and functions? And number four, do you expect every function in the company to redesign its processes to maximize internal efficiency? And five, are your IT systems and applications built to enable all of your existing business processes? Now, the temptation, you might be thinking, oh, yeah, I'm a very smart CEO, and the answer is yes to most of these or some of them. And, okay, some of them, we're not there yet, but I'm trying to get there. And he may have a little startling answer for you. He said, if you answered yes to any of those, your company, you're in trouble. Because you should not be doing any of that. It's a complete lack of focus. It's a sign, he said, of too much complexity and the resulting loss of focus, and it can be a company killer. Look at the first question. I mean, we won't talk about all these. We probably won't have time. But a truly focused company, according to their research, a company that has cut complexity to the core, and really a focused company, that's it. A focused company is not a complex company. A focused company does not invest to win in every element of its business. It invests primarily in its core, the business in which it can outperform everyone else. In other words, it figures out what its core competency is, and it invests there, not in everything else. That is such a powerful thing to know. And you can apply it. I'll give you a little, this is not a program on sales management, but you know, this that applies to employee and sales management. The tendency is, if you're managing a group of salespeople or a group of employees, but salespeople in particular, I'm thinking about, the tendency is to spend all of your time on your lower performers, try and get them to perform better. But you know what every piece of research out there shows? You get more results by spending the time on your best salespeople, because they will improve much more than your worst ones are going to improve. Now, that sort of flies in the face of almost what would almost seem to us to be intuition, but that's the way it works. And it's the same thing in a company. We spend a lot of time perhaps looking at ways to expand and how to expand our business and how to do that, when the fact of the matter is we should spend more time figuring out what our core competencies are. What do we bring unique to the marketplace? What do we bring that we can do better than anyone else in the marketplace, and you invest in that. It doesn't mean you totally ignore everything else, but it means a majority of your investment goes into that, into doing that. You know, complexity is a natural trait of any organization. And I started to say large organization, but the truth of the matter is complexity is a state in every organization. A lot of your average-sized church is probably, in terms of, I don't mean to say billings, that sounds kind of sacrilegious, but in terms of the money they handle, the staff they employ and all that, they're kind of a small business, aren't they? That's one way you can sort of think of it. Think how awfully complex that gets sometimes. Even within a small organization like that, how complex it suddenly is, where this person has no idea what the other person's doing. Well, a small business can do the same thing. It's a natural trait. That's not unnatural. And if you don't step in and stop it, it's the way things will go. But the truth of the matter is intelligent people, good leaders, focused leaders, stop it. You step in and you get that stopped. And here's the amazing thing about that. Simplification in any area opens up possibilities for simplification in every other area. And instead of just getting frustrated about it, pick an area that needs to be simplified. You know, we've been in the process in our company for a while of we're redoing our enterprise software. And to do that, and we have an outside company helping us with it, and they're very good at it. But to do that requires you to really, really give serious thought and to look very carefully at your internal processes. How does your company function? Even a small to medium-sized company like us, over time, you can build a lot of inefficiencies in there where you're doing redundant tasks that you, and you would, you know, it's easy to say, oh, we would never do that. I'll guarantee you, you are. Look over all your processes. There is redundancies in there. But when you actually have someone trying to help you write software, you're not just trying to write. You know, one of the questions they ask up here, is your IT being redesigned to maximize existing processes? Well, that's the problem, the word existing. You don't want to maximize your existing processes. You want to simplify those processes. So your IT should be simplifying things, not just maintaining your existing complex processes. And we all fall into that trap. Every one of us fall into that trap. We collect information that we don't use. And we don't collect information that we need. Why? Because we just started off doing that a long time ago. We've never questioned it. No one's ever questioned that. So we keep doing those kinds of things. But when you simplify one thing, it sort of gives you a mindset to go through and simplify somewhere else. You know, when we're going to close with this. When a guy named Alan Mulally became the CEO of Ford Motor Company, Ford was in big trouble. They were losing money right and left. They had an they were using almost no, you know, almost no common parts between all the vehicles they made. They had almost no common parts. So when he came, he took charge. He took that over, and he absolutely went one thing at a time. Other people had tried to. This was a known problem throughout the company. Too much complexity, and others had tried to reduce it sort of all at once, kind of thing. Let's attack it all at once, and that failed. And that usually does fail if you've got over complex areas in the company. Usually attacking them all at once doesn't work. You need to attack one. Concentrate on one. It's kind of like cleaning your house. You can't clean your house. You can clean a room. Start on the room. Well, he started in a couple of areas and one by one began to do it until Ford Motor Company became one of the most efficient and still is one of the most efficient automotive companies out there, very much a technological leader in this country. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. The idea that they took these processes that were just dated and ancient, and instead of trying to do them all at once, just attacked them individually. And it took some time. And even in your small business, it may take some time to focus on who your customers are. To focus on who your customers should not be. You know, there are customers you shouldn't have. If you've got a customer, even if, and we've had to face this, you're doing a lot of billing with the customers, taking all of your time. And when you really begin to analyze the amount of sales time, the amount of leadership time, the amount of resources that customer takes up, and then you look at what you're doing profit-wise through that customer, you may find that although that you say that's your best customer in terms of billing, the fact of the matter is you might be making a lot more profit off a much smaller customer. And if that's true, then you need to make a strategic decision about that. Which one you're going to really pursue and which one you're going to really keep happy, because it may well be that you're not able to keep everybody. Again, it's focus. Not all customers are equal. Not all processes in your companies are equal. Not all markets are equal. And certainly not all businesses are equal. You've been listening to Driven to Business. Eddie Mayfield enjoyed being here with you, and I'll see you again next week. Remember to catch the podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. See you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.